Well, we've been talking about the Advent season. Of course, we're in the last Sunday of Advent, and Christmas is only a couple days away. Tonight, we're going to celebrate more about Christmas and Christmas Day. I'm sure you've got plans for turkey or chicken or maybe even some pot pie. Depends on your festival traditions, but I'm sure you've got plans. And if you don't, I encourage you to make one. Grab someone today and say, hey, what are you doing for Christmas? If you're doing Christmas alone, find somebody else to do something with. I know lots of things are closed, and so it's important. Find someone, make a new friend today, and invite them into your life. This is the fourth and last Sunday of the Advent, the celebrate Advent being coming of our Lord and Savior, coming of the Messiah, who was and is and yet still to come. And this is the fourth Sunday, which is love, and the last Sunday before we get to celebrate. So over the past three Sundays, we explored the Advent. Even in our busy season of running around with our heads cut off, we went Christmas shopping just a couple days ago. The parking lots are nuts. Tim Hortons lineups are through the roof or through the streets anyways. You know, that's why Starbucks, you know, they're faster. But anyways, just my plug. Running around shopping, buying gifts for one another, getting your turkey ready, getting your cranberries, jellies, or whatever you do, and the hustle and bustle of the holidays. You know, what's interesting is holiday, it actually comes from holy day. That's what the word. So when someone says happy Xmas or happy holidays, don't get offended too much. It is, they're saying happy holy day. And that's okay. It is a holy day celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ, even though I don't want to bust too many myths today, but he might not have been born on December 25th. But it's okay. We're going to celebrate it anyways and have some fun and just be thankful and have a heart of gratitude. And we've got some funny videos for tonight with some of those fun facts. But we take the time to remind ourselves of what it means to celebrate the greatest gift ever given to mankind. It wasn't you and I, but it was Jesus. The greatest gift that we could ever have is him. A very meaningful gift, not just for the day that he was born a few thousand years ago, but still yet for today, it's still the best gift that we could ever dream of encountering and having and being able to have personally within our own lives. But not just even for today, but yet for your tomorrow. The hope that it brings for tomorrow. So many of us are afraid of what tomorrow brings. But there's still hope in Christ for our tomorrow. We don't have to be afraid of tomorrow. We don't have to walk in fear and insecurities and doubt. When we have Jesus, we have that hope. We have that peace. We have his joy. And today we're going to talk about his love. So important to understand what Jesus brings in the fullness of the gift of Jesus Christ here in the earth yet today. Still bringing healing from your yesterdays. We carry our yesterdays a lot. We carry our shame. We carry baggage. We carry regrets. We carry even pain that wasn't your doing in some ways. Maybe someone else caused you pain in your life, but we still carry that from yesterday. But Jesus, I believe, still heals today. And heals us of your pain, heals you from those traumas, heals you from those regrets, gives you hope, gives you peace and joy that passes all of your understanding and hope for your tomorrow. In Christian faith, we refer to the coming of Christ three times. In flesh, the Messiah, King, Deliverer. In our hearts, Comforter, Belonging, and Empowerment. And thirdly, in glory at the end of time, when the fullness of time has been met and Jesus comes back for his bride. Oh, it still gives us hope that this isn't it. But at the same time, we have the fullness of the glory of God still available to live and dwell in us through the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. And thirdly, he comes back. He returns again as king, as judge, as ruler, and rewarder. He diligently rewards them. Wow. Hope. Hope was where we first started. God, through Christ, gave hope, peace, joy, and now love today. Hope came. Hope for a people who were looking to be redeemed, set free, looking to see the fulfillment of promises given to the generations before. Hope. Hope came on the scene. Hope for you and I. Similarly, today, looking for that same freedom, looking for that rescuer, that healing, that prosperity, the hope being Christ in us. Hope to come. A great hope who rewards those who diligently seek him, returning and openly rewarding you as sons and daughters, crowned with glory, an afterlife that is beautifully fulfilled like a marriage supper for a bride and groom, a hope that redeems your past, empowers your present, and secures your future with him in heavenly places. Then we talked about peace. Peace being the biblical word for peace is shalom. Not just the absence of conflict, but also the active experience of harmony, restoring of wholeness, and the experience of godly prosperity. Peace mediated. Christ came and was the dividing and mediating provision from God, who brought a sword and divided from the old and brought the new. Peace. God incarnate in Jesus became the mediation of peace between man and God by himself being the final peace offering unto God for the sins of this world. Peace unto God, reconciling us through Christ back into a relationship, restoring us into a relationship of peace with God, who we were once divided from through sin. But now we can have peace mediated by Christ, who has restored us into a right relationship with the Father. Thanks, Jesus. I'll take it. I love it. Peace is a posture, a state of being, my positioning in the kingdom, the rest through faith in Jesus and the resurrection power in us by the indwelling of his Spirit. And inner peace, we talked about inner peace. Despite the environment, I still can have peace in my life because of what he's done for me. A unifying peace. We become peace. Peacemakers in our world. Carriers of the promise, which is peace to come, has come, and now ministers through us. We bring a ministry of reconciliation to the world, bringing peace to the world around us. Joy. We talked about joy last week. Joy in a world of anger, in a world of unrest, in a world of despair, joy gives strength so that we can abound in hope. Our strength comes from this joy that we have in the Holy Spirit. The fullness of joy is in the Holy Spirit. Joy is a settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life, with a quieted confidence, not an anxious one, but a quieted confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right. So then I press on towards the mark. Joy is a holy contentment. If holiness is simply a posture of being separate from the world or separate from darkness because of the perfect work that Christ is doing in you, you are holy because he is holy. And if he is holy and he dwells in you, you become holy unto God in that mediation of Christ, who brings the fullness of the glory of God. Joy is a deep-seated standing. That's kind of an oxymoron, isn't it? In Christ, postured in joy. Despite my health, despite my wealth or my lack of, despite my possessions, my relationships, through empowering joy, I find such contentment knowing that I have hope and I have found peace and I become joy as I am one with joy in Christ. Wow. The fullness of God is a beautiful picture. When we get to experience it in these parameters, we get to experience it in these standings and postures in Christ, not because you attempt to or you try hard to, but because it's a natural occurrence of Christ working in you, becoming joy, becoming hope, becoming peace and joy and love to the world around you. Let him do his work. Surrender. So we're going to talk about love. John 3:16, famous passage in the New Testament. portion of your Bible, John 3 and 16. We'll have it on the screen there for you. So, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Such a love that God sent Jesus to reconcile the world back into relationship with him. That final peace offering that was made, reconciling us, restoring us into right relationship, which is righteousness, giving us holiness, which is separation. And we get to benefit from the Holy Spirit giving us power to be more than an overcomer in this world, which gives us hope, peace, joy, and love. Love came in the flesh. Love came to dwell in our hearts. And love is still to come eternally. Adam, being the firstborn of God, the Creator, he was living in what we would call nirvana, not the band, but in a place that's like heaven on earth. They were driven out, Adam and Eve was driven out from the garden because of their disobedience to God, their unholiness. They separated from God through disobedience, thus bringing sin into our world that we're in today. Out of their free will was birthed a desire to be like God, which became an obsession and diversion to their relationship with God. Because of their choices, sin entered the world, disconnecting us from being in that right relationship with our God and Father. I'm just going to refer to a couple scriptures. I didn't put them up there. But in Genesis, it talks about, I'll read just a couple things from Genesis chapter 3. In verse 16, to the woman, he said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband. And goes on. Verse 17, cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles, etc. If you're a gardener, I'm sure you have plenty to say to Adam sometimes too, as you weed through the weeds and the thorns. It goes on, by the sweat of your faces you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. See, they were created to live eternally in relationship with God. But this curse now, you will return to ground, for out of it you came, and for you are dust, to dust you shall return. The entire Torah, the Pentateuch, the first few books of the Old Testament scriptures about man's struggle living under this curse. Unable to obey God, struggling with sin, selfishness, murder, hatred, greed, idolatry, and on and on. If you read through the first few books of the Bible, it's atrocious the way often man chose, and still today we still have those similar feelings and similar responses and actions that are born out of sin. Referring in Deuteronomy chapter 11, it says, see, I'm setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Verse 28, and the curse if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, you live under the curse if you're living under disobedience. God provided laws and made covenants with man over and over and over again. Again, read the entire Old Testament scripture. It's full of covenants. It's full of laws. It's full of requirements to obey God. And if you don't, your blessing's removed, you're cursed, and so on and so forth. More chances than my mother ever gave me, I'm sure. Obey my commandments and I will honor my covenant. But oh, we have such a different covenant that we're under today, that you have access to live under today if you're not. 1 Corinthians 15:22 says, for as in Adam, all die. So we all are guaranteed to die someday. But also in Christ shall we be made alive. And it goes on in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45, thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. And the last Adam is talking about Christ. Became a life-giving spirit. Christ being the last Adam made a way for us because of the love of our Father who so desires us to dwell in right standing with him. Restored to being in right relationship with him. Oh, how he's missed being in relationship with man and walking in the cool of the day. And now we have that because the mediator, Christ, came and made that way for we to have accessibility to God, our Father and Creator, because of his perfect sacrifice, restored into right relationship. Love has come to set you and I free from the curse, free from, if you want to translate it specifically, it's from the punishment of the law of sin and death. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15, a powerful text that we read. And I think I've read it for most of these Advent series, but I want to make it clear how accessible we have, or how much accessibility we have to God, our Lord and Savior. Verse 15 says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things are held together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent, which in English is surpassing everything else. For in him, verse 19, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you, who were once alienated and hostiles in mind, doing evil deeds. 22 says, he is now reconciled into his body of flesh by his death. We become one in Christ in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. Wow, what a sacrifice. What a provision. God decides to make provision beyond our capacity and send Jesus, fully man and fully God, to live and model a perfect life. A life that was in right relationship. But then he dies in our place. Bore the sins of the world on his shoulders, nailing them to a cross. But not stopping there, he resurrected 3 days later from the dead. And now sits on the right hand of the Father, positioned in authority and power. You are seated with him in heavenly realm by the pouring out of the Holy Spirit into your heart. Do you see where you sit in, where you're postured in God, when he is sitting in the right hand of God, which is his power and authority? We've talked about being in the proximity of authority by faith when we were talking about Jesus being in the boat in the storm a couple weeks back. But we are postured with him, seated in heavenly places in the same right hand of authority by the power of the Holy Spirit invested in you and I. That love came, that love poured out, and that love is still here today in each and every one of us. And it's not just the love. We've talked about love over and over again for a long time. We went through love. And it's not just the love that's hypersexualized or the love that's just brings self-gratification, but it's a love that is Christ, the very DNA and essence of God that loves so much that he gave his life. So does a brother lay his life down for someone else. It's the greatest love that one could have. Seated with him in heavenly realm, pouring out of the Holy Spirit, we are sealed into redemption. That same life-giving authority, power, hope, peace, joy, and love, the very DNA of God in you. The full embodiment of Christ available to all, to be in all. That's powerful, knowing who you are. And if you don't have that relationship with the Father, with Jesus, if you haven't had that opportunity to say, I want this power that you're talking about to live in me, that love, that hope, that peace, that joy, it's easily accessible. Last week we talked about, how do I get this joy? It's simply just ask. It's a free gift that's given to all that ask, shall receive through faith. Romans chapter 5. We're going to talk about faith just a second. Therefore, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, it says, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Listen to me, listen to the scripture, actually. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame. Why? Because hope, through Christ, that shame was nailed to the cross already. Now that hope is resurrected and lives in you, you are no longer put to shame. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But verse 8 says, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, love came. Love paid an ultimate price for you and I to have that perfect love poured into our hearts through the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. God comes and dwells within you through the Holy Spirit, the very essence of God, the very embodiment of Christ. We've talked before about why is this the case? Why? Because so the whole world knows that Christ wasn't a myth, but that Christ is made real through the pouring out of the Holy Spirit in you. You become the hands and feet. You become the very fragrance of God in the earth again. And that's what's beautiful and powerful about this love that comes and dwells now here for free. By faith, you have inherited the promise. Man, wow, what a beautiful God that we love and serve. And because of God's love manifested through Christ, you are being restored to being in right relationship with him. Rebirthed, newborn, brand new, fresh start, a new seed, a new covenant, a new promise. Now, right here, we have access to this through faith because of God's love, because of his perfect sacrifice. Love is here and accessible for each and every one of us today. Still, just ask if you haven't had that love, love that is beyond measure, love that is beyond our comprehension. It's a love that brings hope, that brings peace. It's the capstone. It's the fulfillment of everything. Hang all the law, it says on it. God in us. 1 John 4, verse 16 says, we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. God in us. God is love. Love exudes from you and I because we are, or become, or can be, or are postured in love. In Matthew, Jesus was teaching his followers, and I gave it away already, but Matthew 22, verse 36 says, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? We're always looking for shortcuts. Verse 37, and he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Some translations of scripture use the word hang, like I said, all the law and the prophets, referring to the hinges of a door. Well, who's the door? I am the door, Jesus says. Love is that door, and it hangs on the law and the prophets. This love door, it's painted red, I'm assuming, but that's just the picture I see. A red door painted by the sacrifice of Jesus. It's relevant. It's irresistible. Love is desired, and love fulfills all. Love is in you because God is in you, and God is love. Love came.